Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to meet with you once again, and the Lord is still on his throne, and he has the last say about what's going on, and he's going to clean up the mess that's in the world and in many of the countries of this world. And they don't recognize him, but he still has all power in heaven and earth. And he said to us, go therefore and teach all nations. And so we are going to do that. And we thank the Lord today. And this is about that he has given us his word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God puts great emphasis on the very words. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So our program is talking about where the pure words of God are. And the Bible tells us this over and over in many, many scripture verses, and it points to the pure words of God, which actually are found in the received text, has been translated into many languages, and then translated into the authorized King James Bible. And we'll be talking about it in a few minutes, but first, we have a great Bible and science report from Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you again today. And just a reminder, too, of course, before we get into that, people can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find a little bit more about Bruce Musselman and his ministry. You can also listen to some past programs there. And there's some other information, some other materials that's there where Bruce has been teaching and preaching on church history and such in some other locations that's on there, as well as an article that got him started on this called Correcting the King James Bible. You can go to that website and you can read that article that Bruce wrote quite a number of years ago. Do you remember how long ago it was you wrote that?
Oh, it could be 10 to 15 years ago.
Well, I think it's got to be more than that because I've known you longer than that.
Is that right?
And you had written it before I met you, and that was in the late 1980s. So it's been a while, I guess.
That's true. Now that I think about
maybe
it.
Maybe 10 to 15 decades. No, maybe not that far. But it's a good article. I encourage people to go there and read that article, Correcting the King James Bible. Listen to some of the past programs and see some of the other materials that are there at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to touch on something here today, and I just, with some of the storms that have been going through the area in the last week or two, it's just, I'm always fascinated with storms. I like to watch the lightning, and some people are scared of the lightning, and certainly you have to respect it. You don't want to go out running around in a lightning storm carrying flagpole over your head. That's not a smart thing to do. But lightning is very interesting when you think about it, and the Bible makes a comment about it. There's two verses that I've always liked, and it says in Job chapter 28 and verse number 24, it says, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. And that's an interesting statement, a way for the lightning of the thunder. He says the same thing again in Job chapter 38 and verse number 24. He says, let's see, I'll get the right verse here. Job chapter 38, had it marked here, my paper fell out. Job chapter 38 here. And verse number 25, who hath divided the water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder? And again, there's this idea, way for the lightning of the thunder. And usually we hear thunder first. You ever think about that? We always say thunder and lightning. Most people don't say, oh, there's lightning and thunder. We usually say, oh, there's thunder and lightning. And part of that is because you hear the thunder, even when you don't see the lightning. A storm can be quite a ways off. But the thunder is caused by the lightning. Air, when it's parted by the lightning bolt, when it comes back together, causes the thunderclap that we hear. And the lightning can be pretty quick. And this is what's interesting with this. This is something that probably is one of the things that really has been one of the things I've liked the most about when we look at science in the Bible. We've never fully understood what happens when a lightning bolt strikes. We see this flash coming down from the cloud, and if you've ever noticed, you'll see little jagged fingers going out sometimes rather than just one straight bolt down to the ground. Oftentimes, you'll see these jagged fingers, and the reason for that is that when the lightning bolt, which is just basically an arc of electricity between the clouds and the ground, there's a streak of positive charged particles that moves up from the ground, where they meet a stream of electrons, which carry the negative charge, that are streaming down from the clouds. And if you can imagine like fingers sticking up from the ground and fingers dropping down from the sky, and when two of those fingers meet, one from the ground, one from the sky, there's a bolt of lightning that shoots from the ground up to the sky. And most people say, well, wait a minute, I see the lightning going down, not up. Well, that's because that first bolt is very fast. It's too fast to see. The human eye can't follow it. And what happens is when that bolt goes up, it prepares a way for the lightning. Just like the Bible says, he prepares a way for the lightning of the thunder. And we see the return bolt, which goes back down from the cloud to the earth. And that's the second bolt that we see. It follows the path, the way that's been prepared by the first bolt. And they really didn't understand this. I think it was about the 1960s. Somebody got a bright idea to shoot model rockets trailing wires into thunderclouds. That sounds like a lot of fun, but I wouldn't advise doing that. But they were trying to get pictures of lightning bolts, and they used high-speed photography. And guess what they found out? They found that first bolt that goes up and prepares a way for the lightning of the thunder, just like the Bible says. And nobody knew that until the 1960s, I believe it was, with the advent of high-speed photography, where they were able to see for the first time the way that God prepares for the lightning of the thunder.
Well, the Bible's the book of God. That's the thing, and that's what we want to point out. And if we didn't have a Bible, then all we would be doing is guessing. And you can put a string of DDs, PhDs behind your name, but if you don't have facts to base it on, it's just all it is so much hot air and so much guessing. You can throw a lot of 4 and 5 syllable words on it. The Bible talks about people that would have great people's persons in admiration through great swelling words. And that's all it is. And so much of liberal theology, that's all it is, just a lot of hot air with 4 or 5 syllable words, but it doesn't have any basis in fact whatsoever. You see, in science, before man started to observe what God had actually given us on the earth, it was philosophical speculation about what science was. And so they didn't get anywhere. But when they actually began to study what God had put here on the earth, that's when they made progress. And the same thing, there's no knowledge of God that amounts to a hill of beans outside of the Word of God. And so just as science has to study what God has put in nature, to understand and know God, we have to study what God has said in His Word. And He has certainly given His Word. I just am astounded sometimes. I talk to people and they're so dogmatic in so many beliefs that they have, but where do their beliefs come from? Where's the factual evidence for what they believe? And so our factual evidence is the Word of God, and we have evidence. Our faith is based on evidence. Despite what the atheists say, faith, the very definition of faith is it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God has given evidence of Himself that shows the facts of Himself in the Word of God. Well, we want to talk today from 1 Corinthians chapter. I think we'll read the last verses of chapter 1, and then we'll read also chapter 2 today. And in here, we're talking about where the Word of God is, and that's what our program is all about. And so it says here, In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, God doesn't want us to glory in human beings, how wonderful they are, how great they are, but in Jesus Christ. But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has made to us, and I'm not going to mention all four of these things, but I'll mention a couple of them. He has made unto us wisdom. And so they have philosophy, but the philosophers, some much of it, you could get a PhD and spend $20,000, $30,000 getting your PhD, and all you'd end up with is there's no absolute truth, which is a contradiction right there because they stated an absolute. But they get nowhere, and therefore philosophy is constantly changing. But Jesus is made unto us wisdom. He is our philosophy. And Paul said when he met God, he said, all my former knowledge I just counted as manure, dung, he said. And why wouldn't we? Because if we have talked to the one that is the creator of the universe, or if we've got information from him, why would we be that interested? Now, we might be somewhat interested to see what people are thinking, but it would have no real effect on us if we have talked to the creator or met the creator in his word and through his word. And so he has made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. And Paul says, the rest of it I count up but dung. It's just like manure, you know. And if you realize that the creator of the universe has spoken to you in his word, the Bible, the other stuff isn't important. I talk to people, and they're into New Age and stuff like that. Well, and they're just wrapped up in some of that stuff. Well, all that is just man's opinions, or probably demonic opinions, demons' opinions, you know. I'm not interested in some small fry demon, you know, or what human beings say. I'm interested in what the creator of this universe said, and he has spoken to us in the book, and the book is called the Authorized King James Bible. And that's what this program is all about. Now, if you don't have the King James, where is it? And then you have these wiseacres, they say, well, we are reverent biblicists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals. Boy, that is a bunch of nonsense, because they don't have the originals. And over 99% of the ancient manuscripts back the text of the King James Bible. And since the King James was out, they had a huge find of papyri. And again, at Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, it backed the King James of all this papyri they found. Even some of the leading writers on the textual history have pointed this out and know this. And so we have it today, you know, and talking about the originals, which you don't even have, is a bunch of nonsense. And the Bible says, what's God's word say? It says that the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That nigh, in case you don't understand English language, nigh means near, you know, right? That's a hard word to understand, isn't it? And it says it's near thee. Where is it near? In my heart, in my mouth. That is the word of God which we speak. And, you know, it's the one we memorize. And today they're using corrupt versions. And then once in a while you hear them speak, and they're quoting from a King James Bible. So it says, Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. And I want to mention this. Jesus lived an absolutely perfect life. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus was God. He lived a perfect life. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, his perfect life is now counted to you. And God looks at you as living a perfect life. Isn't that wonderful? You can't beat that. And your sins are counted to him when he died on the cross. And so it says, and sanctification, that means we sing a song, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. We're sanctified. There's another song we sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infant mercy, his child, and forever I am. Sanctified means set apart to God. And the Bible says, he that hath begun a good work, and you shall perform it unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I'm glad it's not based on my faithfulness, and neither is it based on your faithfulness. It's based on the faithfulness of God. And let me say, when you're born again, God's nature is put in you, brother, and you're a child of God. I'm not telling anybody, if they're living like the devil, that they're saved. If they're living like the devil, they're following the devil. But if they're saved, they may fall sin. But, brother, I'll tell you, God will forgive their sin. But I'm telling you, they're living a holy life. That's the characteristic. And redemption. Redemption means that because we have broken the law, and one sin would damn us. People think you're saved by keeping the law. You just try to keep it. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was saying that, and showing the whole Sermon on the Mount, he says, lest your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall nowise enter in. They were very punctilious in trying to keep every detail of the law. Nobody ever got saved because of that. Why? What does Moses say about this, who spoke for God? Moses said that cursed is everyone that doesn't do everything that is written in the book of the law. So if you don't do everything in the Word of God, if you miss at one point, you have broken the law and you're damned. But Jesus, and there's a curse. That curse is death and hell and separation from God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus became a curse for us when he died on the cross. He took our place as our substitute. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, when we meet him, it says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We'll meet God because all of our sins have been paid for. Jesus' perfect life has been counted to us. Therefore, I will meet God in great exceeding joy, means wonderful joy. And I'll tell you what, the Lord says we get a taste of that now, because when we begin to sometimes sing or talk about the Lord, the Holy Spirit just gives us a taste of that joy, and it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, that according as written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if we are excited about anything, if we're praising anything, if we're glorying in anything, we should glory in our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom. Now, he didn't come using philosophical words, neither did he come using philosophy to convince them of salvation, convince them of Jesus Christ. He just came with the words of God talking about Jesus Christ. He never came with the wisdom of men, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't try to philosophically reason them into it, and it really doesn't work. But he came preaching the gospel. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, it says that he was going to preach to them Jesus and him crucified. What's that mean? When Jesus died on the cross, he was beaten, and then he hung on that cross. They put nails in his hands, and he paid the penalty of death. And because of that penalty being paid, God forgives us of every sin we ever did, and we can meet God with joy. That's the message he preached. That's the message we need to tell to all of our people. I tell you, we need to tell our Catholic friends. They don't have to go to purgatory. If you teach that there's such a thing as purgatory, you're saying that the sacrifice of Christ was not enough. It's blasphemy of the sacrifice of Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin, the blood that was shed on the cross. You're saying that that was not good enough. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. He paid for all sin, everything we ever did. And you don't have to go out like the Muslims believe and kill somebody that's not a Muslim. You say they don't say that. Well, you read the Quran and see what it says. Why is all this murder going around on worldwide. They're trying to get to heaven by killing people. And despite what the lying media says, and brother, you better not believe the media because they're false on just about everything they say. Now, it says, and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. He didn't use philosophy, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How about we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. And he has said that that is the wisdom coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happened is, between 185 and 254, there is a man named Origen, an origin to make the scripture more acceptable to the pagans and heathens and philosophers in Alexandria, Egypt. He made a revision of the Koine Greek text, the common Greek text, and changed it into philosophical Greek. And that's why in so-called textual history, which again is what they're teaching in scientific texts, textual knowledge or something, they're teaching the most difficult reading is the best. That's one of the things, because they want to follow Origen's corrupt text that he made. And so we don't speak in those words. We speak in the words which God's wisdom teacheth, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for his Spirit searcheth all things. But the Spirit knoweth the deep things of man. What man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And Eve takes out the word freely, and the modern translations in places take out that word freely. Salvation is the free gift. Which things also we speak in, not in the words which man's wisdom. Now, the modern versions based on Vaticanus and Sinaiticus come to us from Constantine's Bible. Constantine's Bible was given to us through Eusebius, who based it, who was a follower of Origen, who based on Origen's corrupt text, which was the philosophical, changing the Koine Greek words, the words of God's words, into the words of the wisdom of men, the difficult words. And it says here, we don't speak in those words, but which man's wisdom teacheth, that is, in the text of the Alexandrian text, which the Holy Ghost teacheth. That's the words we speak in. And that's the words of the King James Bible, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to it. And that's why Christians have followed it, and there's a billion copies of it in English alone, plus thousands more in many different translations. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. So they dump about 200 to 400 translations come out, because the Holy Spirit doesn't bear witness to it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So they reject the King James. All these modern cults reject the King James eventually, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They say, we can't understand it. Well, they can't understand it because they're not saved. Get saved. I understood the King James when I was a child, and I'm not saying I was that smart. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit will teach you, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And if you're spiritual, you'll have a discernment on which word of God to use. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they have heard the voice of Jesus in the King James. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and so we have the mind of Christ in the authorized King James Bible. And praise God. God said, thy word is truth. And, you know, God said we should all speak the same thing. Preachers have it seems like on the radio you have each preacher, and I could tell the name and the different corruptions that they're using. We're all supposed to speak the same thing. God's word said, let's use the same Bible, the Bible that God uses. that every revival has come through God's Word, the King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.